Today, is this the year of the Black Republican? Three African-American candidates are running for high-profile positions in Maryland, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Together, they represent a concerted effort by the Republican Party to appeal to African-Americans. We'll take a look at the three races and discuss what Republicans are doing to reach out to Black voters and how the Democrats are responding. If you have questions about these three races or more broadly about the Republican outreach to African-Americans, give us a call. Our number in Washington is 800-989-8255. The email address is talk@npr.org. Still with us is Joe Watkins, a former member of the first President Bush's administration. He now works in government relations at the law firm Buchanan, Ingersoll, and Rooney. NPR's Ken Rudin is also with us. You can read his latest Political Junkie column at our website, npr.org. And joining us for this discussion is Ron Walters, distinguished leadership scholar and professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. Welcome, Professor Walters.
Good to be with you.
Ken, if you'd start us off, who are the three African-American candidates? What offices are they running for?
Well, the one with the best chance here clearly is Lieutenant Governor Michael Steele of Maryland, a Republican, elected Lieutenant Governor in the 2002 campaign. He's running against a white Democrat, Ben Cardin, and I think Republicans feel most optimistic about this race because it's a lot of vibrancy in the Steele campaign. Steele's a pretty good campaigner. The other two is...
And Ben Cardin is kind of charisma challenged, it has to be said, even though he's had a very distinguished career in government, a former Speaker of the Maryland House.
Right,
so
he's been in Congress. He's been in Congress for over 200 years, and he's been around a long time. I think there's the vibrancy of Steele that you don't have with Ben Cardin, although Cardin is very well respected, very well liked, and everything. The two other Republicans, Black Republicans, who have a much decidedly less chance, Lynn Swann, the former great Pittsburgh Steeler wide receiver, who's running for governor of Pennsylvania against a very entrenched Democratic incumbent, Ed Rendell, a white incumbent. Lynn Swann has a lot of star appeal, but Rendell has just done a good job, and sometimes we've seen in debates Lynn Swann didn't seem to be up on the issues as much as he should, especially to run a tough state like Pennsylvania. And the other one, probably the most controversial of the three, is Ken Blackwell. He's the Secretary of State for the state of Ohio. He was in charge of the election mechanics that decided the 2004 presidential election. Many Democrats feel that Blackwell rigged the race in favor of President Bush over John Kerry. But Blackwell is not only challenging the Democrats in Ohio, he's also challenging his fellow Republicans. Governor Bob Taft, whose term limited is very unpopular, perhaps the least popular governor in the country. And the Republican Party has been enmeshed in some scandals in Ohio. And Blackwell has all that to fight against in his bid to continue 16 years of Republican rule there.
Professor Walters, is this historically significant that there are these three African-Americans running for statewide office on the Republican line, even if some of their chances aren't that great? The fact that they're major party nominees running for these statewide positions.
Well, I don't think that the significance of this lies in the fact that they're going to run viable campaigns. I think that the fact is they've been put up by the Republican Party. I think sort of party building for the future. The Republican Party has had a strategy for several years now, several electoral cycles, which says that we don't really think we can win the black vote. What we really want to do is to begin to get to the point where we can win 15% of the vote, or maybe 20%. And that, in the midterm elections, maybe that carries over into the national elections. And so this is really a sort of narrow strategy on their part. And I'm not sure, given the fact that they put these candidates up against very formidable foes, that they intended for them to win these elections. So I don't think really that really was the Republican strategy this time around.
These are sacrificial lambs, as it were.
I think so. I mean, that one could safely predict, I don't know how Ken feels about this, that all of them will lose. And so then you've got to think about the people they're up against. Ed Rendell, a really very popular governor who hasn't really made any mistakes. Ben Cardin, 20 years in the House, very solid record, public policy. And then, of course, Ken Blackwell, who was not even supported by his own party in the state of Ohio. So you've got to really wonder at the end of the day, you know, why were these people put up? And I don't think it was that they were put up to win. It was that they were put up sort of to build a base.
Joe Watkins, do you buy that? Now, you're close to the Republican National Committee. You're close to Chairman Ken Millman.
I am.
Is that true?
Well, people don't get put up by the party. They run because they want to. They're in at least two instances in Ohio and Pennsylvania, there were contested primaries for these seats. And so it wasn't a matter that somebody came along and tapped Ken Blackwell on the shoulder and said, Ken, we want to put you up for governor. Ken has been trying for years to get the opportunity to run for governor and actually stepped aside so that Taft could do it some years ago. And he's got a very long history as somebody who has either been mayor of Cincinnati or a candidate for Congress or an appointed official or an elected statewide official in Ohio. The same is true. The same is not true of Lynn Swann. Lynn Swann has not held any previous political office. He was an appointee. He was appointed to head, I think, the President's Commission on Physical Fitness, and did that very, very well. And recently, certainly in the 2004 presidential election cycle, was very involved, heavily involved on behalf of President Bush. And he's somebody who had clearly indicated that he was very interested in running for higher office. Always tough to start at the top as governor because that's a tough seat, and the question becomes is what background do you have to do it? Now, others have done it before. Ronald Reagan certainly did it in California, Arnold Schwarzenegger as well. So it's not impossible that somebody like a Lynn Swann could be governor of Pennsylvania, but he's really drowning by virtue of the money disparity.
Okay, but Joe, the party did reach out to Michael Steele. I mean, that has to be said. He was lieutenant governor. He was well positioned, assuming that Robert Ehrlich, as governor, continues to be successful or is successful in his bid for re-election. He would have been then well positioned to run for governor. So he was recruited to run.
Well, he's somebody that, well, he was, before that, he was the state Republican chairman. So he's somebody who had been involved in politics and clearly wanted to have the opportunity to run at some point. And he was somebody that was recruited for that Senate seat. It was an open Senate seat. You had a senator stepping down from his longtime held seat. And so it was an open seat. And he's really running an excellent campaign. I mean, right now, we don't yet know what African-American voters in the state will do. Remember, he's the guy in 2002 when brought on board as the Republican running mate in that governor's race, helped tip the balance in favor of the Republican and really changed things in Maryland, which is a heavily, as we know, Democratic state.
Joe, I want to go to a caller in a moment, but as to Professor Walter's point, I mean, if I could amplify it a bit, the kind of our article of faith over the last couple of years is that the Republican Party has reached out to black candidates, not because they expected black folks to actually vote Republican, but in part to appeal to independent whites or to progressive whites, and also to change the historical image of the party as being hostile to African Americans in the post-civil rights era. So that's in part Professor Walter's point, that it really wasn't about these guys winning. It was really about making a larger point. Is it your view that that is not true, if indeed it ever was true, that it's no longer true? It really is because the party believes in these folks themselves, for themselves, and thinks their chances are viable.
The party believes in them. Obviously, they have differing chances of being elected in November, but the party believes in them. The party also has been, you're right, everybody's right in saying that there's been a definitive move on the part of the party to reach out to African-American voters. And to say to African-American voters, take a look at the Republican Party and what we stand for, and don't suppose that because you've been Democrat in the past that you necessarily agree with Democrats on all the issues. If you're somebody who has socially conservative beliefs because of your faith, if you're somebody who has fiscally conservative beliefs because you're in business, you might find that you really are more of a Republican than you are a Democrat. So you ought to look at our candidates. And these three black Republican candidates are also very different in terms of how they stand on a wide range of issues. But they really mirror the diversity that exists in the party. It's a big tent.
Great. Okay, let's go to Akron, Ohio, and Leo.
Yes.
Leo.
Hello. In looking at the gubernatorial race, as an independent voter, the Republican Party, at least as far as I am sitting here in Northeast Ohio, is seen as a party of scandal and corruption. Ken Blackwell is seen as an extremist, even to many Republicans. He's the kind of candidate who likes to wear his faith on his sleeve, which appeals to many voters. But at the same time, he's now running against an ordained Methodist minister, so he has got pretty much that is canceled out. But Mr. Blackwell is a candidate who has flawed ideas, and people are seeing right through these ideas. Has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with his race at all. And if that comes into play, I think it's going to be an act of desperation on the Blackwell camp. But I think that most people in Ohio look at his conflict of interest as Secretary of State and as the Ohio chair of the Bush reelection campaign, in light of all the flaws that happened in Ohio, it's just not seen very favorable by people. They see him as very inept.
Leo, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Joe Watkins, the caller, raises an interesting point about the outreach to social conservatives and the role. And I'm interested in your view of whether, in part, the some of these African Americans, not Ken Blackwell in particular, is their campaign more about social conservatives than reaching out to African Americans? What's your take on that?
Well, Ken has been successful, certainly, in getting a number of socially conservative ministers to come out on his behalf, both white and black ministers to come out on his behalf. And they've rallied very strongly around it because Ken has been so outspoken in terms of his position on abortion and the state constitutional amendment barring gay marriage. And so from that standpoint, Ken, you have to give Ken Blackwell credit for being a straight shooter. I mean, he says what he thinks. Whether it's popular or not is what it is. But he says what he thinks, and he's not afraid to shy away from the tougher issues. And I think that for a lot of Ohio voters, that's going to be something that pushes them over the top to support him because they don't want to hear somebody who says what they want them to say, but rather they would rather have somebody in office who's a straight shooter.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. But Joe Atkins, could you talk to us about whether the caller also said that he thinks if Ken Blackwell references race, and that would be an act of desperation. But I have to say that it is an intriguing question. I mean, how race plays a role in these conversations in Maryland, for example. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Michael Steele has picked up some support from unusual places. A very prominent African American lawyer, Billy Murphy, is supporting him. A relative of one of the candidates bested in the Democratic primary is supporting Michael Steele. In part, they say, because they don't feel that the Democratic Party has taken the black vote seriously, and they want to send a message. So my question to Joe Atkins, and I also like to hear from the rest of the panel, is ethnicity a part of this? I mean, are these candidates, how do they walk the line on an ethnic appeal? Is being black part of their message?
Well, I think for Ken Blackwell that race is not really something that he wants to hold as a centerpiece of his campaign. It really shouldn't make a difference, I think he would say, if he was here to defend himself. On the part of Michael Steele, I think that race in the state of Maryland plays a big role because African-American Democrats, and not just voters, but leaders, elected officials, and the sons of elected officials, such as the son of Kwesi Amfume, who lost in the Democratic primary to Cardin, are saying that they feel that the Democratic Party has been taking them for granted for a long time. And remember, there's some teeth to this here, because this is the same thing that that black Democrats in Maryland said in 2002, and that's the reason why so many of them switched and voted for the Republicans in the 2002 governor's race. So it's very, very possible that a guy like Michael Steele, without making race the centerpiece of his campaign, may benefit from the fact that a lot of black Democrats feel like they've been taken for granted by the party.
Professor Ron Walters, do you think that's true?
Well, I think that's certainly true. I think that you go back to the 2002 race, and in Baltimore, you had a very prominent black politician, Clarence Mitchell IV, actually come out for Bob Ehrlich. And, of course, Bob Ehrlich got 45,000 votes out of Prince George's County, which is really very unusual. So that there was some alienation
right,
there.
And just a point of clarification, that Prince George's County is a majority black jurisdiction in Maryland, very middle class, affluent, high degree of education.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Majority of blacks. It is the most affluent black county in the country and predominantly black. And so that was really very significant for him to get that many votes out of Prince George's County. I think that, yes, when you look at the situation in Ohio or Pennsylvania, it is pretty much the same thing because you're talking about Republicans trying to make an appeal on the basis of race, hoping to build some sort of a base. In the 2004 election, what you've got here is there were a significant number of black churches that came out and voted for the president, and that was a very critical base to his carrying Ohio. So that there's no question in my mind that when one looks at the faith-based programs and there is a political line which runs down through them, which appeals to the churches and to some of the ministers there, that some of the black churches, the more conservative evangelical black churches, have played a political role in the Republican Party.
I agree with Joe completely in this fact. I don't think that Ken Blackwell in Ohio is running on race. He's a conservative. He's been elected statewide. I think if he loses, and I think he will lose, it's not because of race either, because there's a scandals in the Republican Party in Ohio, and they've had 16 years of rule, which people are tired of. In Pennsylvania, I'm not convinced that they picked Lynn Swan because he's black. I'm convinced that they picked him because he's a celebrity and a very popular celebrity, and they thought that they may counteract Ed Rendell. In Maryland, though, I will say that race is a very big point for the reason that Ron just said is that African Americans do feel disenchanted. They felt disenchanted in the 2000 governor's race, and they think that Michael Steele may be the way to deal with that.
We're down to our last couple of seconds, so Ken, I want to give you the last word. What's the Democratic Party's response to this?
Well, I think these are three completely different cases, but, you know, they'll just say this is not rhetoric and it's not – don't look at rhetoric, don't look at window dressing. Look what the parties stand for, and the Democrats will say that the Democratic Party is the party that has done more and clearly has done more for African Americans. Republicans will say that Democrats have taken the black vote for granted, and it's about time that African American voters looked at the two parties. But again, for the Republican Party, they have to make more than just the rhetoric for them to be taken seriously on November 7th.
Is part of the appeal of Lynn Swan that he, because he was a former football player, did he have resources of his own to put into the campaign?
Well, he didn't. Actually, when he first got in the race, he was leading in the polls. So I think a lot of it was a celebrity factor. But I think that the economic the situation in Pennsylvania outruled whatever celebrity status he would have brought.
Okay. Thank you. We have to leave it there. Thank you all. Thank you, gentlemen, and Ken. Joe Watkin served in the first President Bush administration. He now works in government relations at the law firm Buchanan, Ingersoll & Rooney. He joined us from the studios of Audio Post in Philadelphia. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks so much, Michelle.
Ron Walters is Distinguished Leadership Scholar and Professor of Government and Politics at the University of Maryland. He was here with us in Studio 3A. Thank you, Professor.
Good to be with you, Michelle.
And NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. He writes the weekly Political Junkie column that can be found at npr.org. And he has a weekly podcast called It's All Politics, also available on the NPR website. Thanks as always, Ken.
And I am a gentleman.
And a scholar. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin in Washington.